Usually when we talk about a business problem, there's this expectation of visibility.
Right, like you can physically see what's broken.
Exactly. Think of a leaky pipe in your house. You see the puddle on the floor. You know you have a plumbing issue, and you call someone to fix it. It's a visible, tangible cause and effect.
Yeah.
You know exactly what's costing you money.
Yeah, the damage is right there in front of you. You point at it and say, well, there's the problem.
But then you step into the world of digital search right now, here in 2026, and suddenly that puddle on the floor is just completely invisible. I mean, you are losing water, in this case, leads, revenue, customer trust, but you literally cannot find the leak anywhere.
Because the pipes are hidden behind, you know, the drywall of a massive technological shift.
Exactly. And that is exactly what we're getting into today. Welcome to today's deep dive. I am incredibly glad you're joining us because our mission today is to really demystify this rapidly changing landscape of search engines.
It is so needed right now.
It really is. We are tearing into a targeted strategy document today called Mastering Google AI Search, a 2026 strategy for OC businesses.
Yeah.
So we're specifically looking at a data set out of Orange County to see how local businesses are adapting to Google AI mode and these new AI overviews.
And honestly, it is a remarkable look at the mechanics of what is actually happening behind the scenes of those search bars.
Yeah, we're going to unpack exactly what this whole AI-shaped discovery process means for your visibility and your conversions. Mm-hmm. And I want to set the expectation right now for you listening. This is not some theoretical tech discussion about, like, the sci-fi future of artificial intelligence.
No, not at all.
This is a highly practical breakdown of how you have to adapt your content today without losing sight of just fundamental business operations. Because if you ignore these shifts, your business might quietly lose leads and traffic without ever seeing an obvious cause.
But if you navigate it right, I mean, it becomes a massive competitive advantage. Because if we connect this to the bigger picture, the struggle we're seeing across the board isn't a lack of software. It's not that companies don't have enough marketing tools or budget.
Yeah, it's not a tool problem.
Right. It's that they are applying old tools to a fundamentally changed structure. The very nature of how a customer finds a business has shifted from, like, a directory model to an answer model.
Okay, let's unpack this, because the research points out that this structural shift creates what they call an invisible friction.
Yeah, invisible friction.
So what does that friction actually look like on, say, a Tuesday morning for a normal business owner?
Well, the immediate symptoms are very specific. We're seeing massive traffic uncertainty, a steep drop in simple clicks, unclear source selection by the AI, and just content that answers too little, too late.
I want to zoom in on that drop in simple clicks because, honestly, that seems to be the silent killer right now.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, think about what happens when an AI overview just hands a user the answer right there at the very top of the search page.
Without them having to click anything.
Exactly. 2 years ago, someone might search for, say, an Orange County roofing company just to find their business hours or see if they handle commercial properties.
Right. They'd click the link, visit the website, and register as traffic.
Yep. But today, the AI reads your site, synthesizes the answer, and just tells the user directly, you know, yes, they do commercial roofing, and they're open until 5 p.m.
So that simple click is just gone. Evaporated.
And that creates massive friction internally because you have marketing employees scrambling to meet these outdated traffic quotas.
Oh, man, yeah.
And you have leadership looking at analytics dashboards wondering why the raw numbers are just dropping off a cliff.
But it goes way beyond just traffic volume, doesn't it?
It does. It directly impacts your conversion rate. Customers have become, like, highly sensitive to the gaps in this new search experience. If the AI overview gives them a slow answer, or if it surfaces inconsistent proof about your business, they notice immediately.
So when the trust signals are unclear in an AI summary, conversion rates just plummeted before the user even reaches your homepage.
Exactly. They just move on to the next option.
I see the logic there, but wait, let me push back on that for a second.
Sure.
If AI is doing all the heavy lifting of summarizing this information and just giving users the answers directly, aren't traditional websites kind of becoming obsolete anyway? I mean, it feels a bit like a restaurant. If Google AI is the waiter bringing the food out directly to the customer's table, why do we need to worry about the decor of the kitchen?
What's fascinating here is that the kitchen, in your analogy, so your website's underlying data, its structure, its content, that is exactly what that AI waiter relies on to serve anything at all.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, large language models don't just invent the food out of thin air, they have to source it. So if the AI looks into your kitchen and cannot find a clear decision path or authoritative proof or, you know, properly structured data, it simply won't serve your food.
It'll just go to your competitor's kitchen.
Precisely. It goes where the data is clean.
Ah, so you aren't decorating the kitchen for the customer anymore. You have to make the kitchen incredibly easy for the AI waiter to navigate.
Exactly. And this is where so many businesses are failing right now. A page that only educates is incredibly weak in 2026.
Because it doesn't give the AI anything concrete to serve.
Right. If you just have a generic blog post that explains, you know, what a commercial roof is, the AI might scrape a sentence from it, but that doesn't help your business actually win a client.
Right. Educating isn't selling.
Exactly. A strong page must explain the concept, provide authoritative proof that your specific company is qualified to do the work, and then actively guide the visitor to a decision. If your content answers too little, too late, the AI just moves on.
Wow. Okay, so if you aren't preparing the underlying data properly, the AI is basically choking off your traditional traffic and your conversion pipelines at the same time?
Yep, it's a double hit.
Okay, so we know the puddle is there, and we know the leak is in how the AI parses our data. So how do we actually fix the kitchen? The strategy data we're looking at lays out this really clear three-phase implementation roadmap.
It does, yeah.
Let's get into phase one, which focuses on actionable optimization.
So the defining rule of phase one is that the work has to be narrow enough to actually complete, but important enough to actually matter.
Right. You don't want to try and rewrite your entire website on day one.
Yeah.
That's a nightmare.
Exactly. You want to strengthen your most helpful high conversion pages first.
Find the pages that actually drive revenue and just start there. So what are the specific mechanics we are optimizing on those pages?
Well, we're looking at establishing what's called entity clarity, building out structured data, verifying author proof, tightening up internal links, expanding FAQs, and really cleaning up conversion paths.
I want to pause on entity clarity and structured data because, I mean, that sounds like a pure technical jargon, but it's the absolute core of this whole AI ecosystem.
It really is.
Think of normal website text like a giant paragraph. In the past, Google would scan that paragraph, look for keywords, and sort of guess what was important.
Right, it was doing a lot of guesswork.
But structured data acts like a series of invisible sticky notes placed directly onto your website's code that explicitly tell the AI, like, this number here is our price, or this text here is our business hours, or this is the author's credential.
I love that.
You are completely removing the AI's need to guess.
That is a brilliant way to visualize it. And entity clarity is essentially the result of all those sticky notes working together to make sure the AI search engine understands exactly who you are, what concepts you're connected to, and why you are an authority in your specific local market.
Because it's not reading like we do.
Right. The AI doesn't read your site like a human does. It maps relationships.
Mm.
So if your structured data clearly links your brand entity to the location of Orange County and to the service of commercial roofing and provides author proof showing real human expertise.
That builds the trust.
Exactly. That builds the trust the AI needs to actually recommend you.
But look, if I dedicate my team to spending 40 hours putting digital sticky notes on our code, my boss is going to want to know what we actually got for it, right?
Naturally, yeah.
Which leads us into a major pitfall. Phase two of this roadmap is all about measuring outcomes versus activities. And the data highlights a huge trap here, mistaking the activity of doing SEO for actual business success.
This raises such an important question for any leadership team. You have to ask, what are we actually trying to achieve? Because publishing a new web page or buying an expensive new AI analytics tool or, you know, holding a two-hour planning meeting, those are just activities.
All right.
They mean absolutely nothing to the bottom line on their own.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Measuring activity instead of outcomes is exactly like joining a gym.
Oh, this is a great analogy.
Buying the expensive gym membership, getting the fancy new running shoes, laying out your workout clothes the night before, that is just activity.
Hmm.
You feel incredibly productive, but you haven't actually changed your cardiovascular health at all.
Not even a little bit.
The outcome, the only thing that actually matters is whether you can run a mile without gasping for air.
Exactly. You can't report to your CEO that you bought the running shoes and expect them to be thrilled if the business is still losing ground in Google AI mode.
They don't care about the shoes.
Right. You have to measure the business's actual health. Did this optimization work improve our response time? Did it increase the conversion rate on that specific landing page?
Are we seeing real risk reduction?
Exactly. Are we getting fewer basic support tickets because the AI is finally answering them correctly before they even call us? Is the quality of the leads actually improving?
Okay, so we've optimized the kitchen, and we're finally measuring our ability to run that mile instead of just bragging about our running shoes.
Yeah.
But earlier you mentioned leadership getting nervous about analytics dropping and marketing teams scrambling to meet quotas. Mm-hmm. How do you keep the C-suite from pulling the plug on this whole optimization project before those outcomes actually materialize?
Well, that is exactly what Phase 3 addresses. Phase 3 is the dual ownership model, and honestly, it's what makes this entire shift sustainable.
Okay, dual ownership. Break that down.
This work completely fails if it's just treated as a one-time IT checklist. It requires two very specific owners working in tandem. First, you need a business owner. This person defines the why. You know, why does this matter to the company's bottom line? What revenue streams are we protecting or improving?
And I imagine the second owner handles the how.
Correct. The second owner is the technical or marketing owner. This person defines the practical steps, like how are we actually going to implement the schema markup? How are we updating the internal links and the FAQs to capture that AI traffic?
Okay, but I can hear a lot of founders out there thinking right now, you know, I don't have the headcount for that. Why can't the marketing director just own the whole thing? Why create this artificial divide?
Because of the unique friction of LLM-based search. Let's look at what happens when they work in isolation.
Okay.
If a marketer owns it entirely, they naturally focus on writing beautiful, persuasive copy for the human reader. But without the technical side, the AI can't parse the data because it lacks that structured schema markup we talked about. So the beautiful copy just becomes invisible.
Oh, wow.
On the flip side, if the coder owns it entirely, they will flawlessly implement the schema markup, sure, but they might optimize it for technical jargon that actual customers never even search for.
So the marketer builds a beautiful kitchen with no doors, and the coder builds a perfectly functional kitchen that only serves gruel.
That is exactly it. If you only have a business owner, the project is too abstract. It's all high-level boardroom strategy with no code actually being deployed. But if you only have a technical owner, the project becomes this list of technical chores that leadership doesn't understand and just eventually defunds.
Makes total sense.
The dual ownership model forces the boardroom and the server room to actually collaborate. It standardizes the work so that it becomes a repeatable operating habit rather than just a panic response every time Google updates its algorithm.
All right, so we have the roadmap. We know the mechanics of fixing the data, measuring outcomes, and enforcing dual ownership. But now we have to talk about the brutal reality of business mechanics, which is, of course, money.
Always comes down to money.
Always. How do leaders justify paying for this in 2026? How do you align the budget so you aren't just throwing cash into a black hole?
Budgeting for AI search requires a very strict shift in mindset. The research is clear that you must separate your budget into two distinct categories, urgent fixes and maturity improvements. You absolutely cannot blend these.
Give me a real-world scenario of the difference. I imagine an urgent fix is, like, when the AI is literally hallucinating your business hours and telling customers you are closed when you're actually open.
Yes, that is the perfect example of an urgent fix. Urgent fixes address issues that are immediately threatening your business right now.
So anything bleeding revenue.
Exactly. Anything affecting security, active conversions, website uptime, compliance, or just a broken customer experience. If the AI overview is actively stirring up incorrect pricing information that breaks a customer's trust, you spend the urgent budget to fix that data footprint immediately.
But what qualifies as a maturity improvement then?
Maturity improvements are about long-term operational strength. So that's investing in long-term API governance, setting up better automation for your reporting, ongoing team training, or maybe building a more sophisticated content management system.
So the trap here is spending your urgent fix budget on a fancy long-term reporting tool when your main conversion page is currently completely invisible to the AI. You're basically building a new roof while the house is on fire.
Precisely. You have to prioritize based on objective reality.
Which brings up an incredibly critical point about budgeting the cost of inaction. I want you to think about your own organization right now as you listen to this. What happens if your business leaves this AI search friction unresolved for another quarter?
Yeah, what's the acceptable loss?
Right. What is the acceptable loss in customer experience or market share? The AI algorithms are training on the web right now. If you wait 3 months to start building entity clarity, your competitor becomes the default verified answer for the AI.
And that's so hard to undo.
Exactly. Framing the budget around the literal cost of losing those invisible leads changes the entire conversation in the boardroom.
It really does, because inaction is a decision, right? And it carries a compounding financial penalty in this environment. And when you do decide to take action, especially if you bring in external partners to help navigate this, you have to demand a totally new level of accountability.
Awesome.
Well, the research references groups like Technegian as external partners for this sort of optimization. But regardless of who you hire, the rules of engagement have just changed.
What does true partner accountability look like mechanically? Because, I mean, let's be honest, it is notoriously easy for an outside agency to run a bunch of automated SEO audits and just email over a 50-page PDF of colorful graphs that literally no one understands.
And that is exactly what they should not be doing. A vendor shouldn't just execute tasks in a vacuum and hand over technical gibberish. The mandate here is plain language reporting.
Plain language.
Yes. Leadership should not have to Google acronyms to understand if their visibility actually improved. The report needs to connect the technical implementations directly back to the business outcomes.
Right.
Don't tell the CEO you added 40 schema markups. Tell them, we clarified your service area data, and as a result, qualified leads in Orange County increased by 12%.
Okay, I can hear operations managers groaning right now, though. Doesn't demanding all this documentation, like baselines, plain language reports, dual ownership meetings, doesn't that just slow the actual work down? We're supposedly trying to move fast in an AI world.
I completely understand that concern, but honestly, the reality is the exact opposite. Documentation actually speeds things up immensely.
Really?
Yeah, because we aren't talking about writing a 100-page corporate manual here. We are talking about maintaining a very simple baseline log, just a record of the current state of the site, the specific decisions made, the systems involved, who the dual owners are, and the date of the next review.
So how does a simple log like that speed up a highly technical AI optimization project?
Because in the modern workforce, turnover is just inevitable. Staff members get promoted or they leave. External agencies change. If you don't have that baseline documentation, the next time a new marketing director takes over or a new agency is hired, they have to restart the entire discovery process from scratch.
Oh, right.
They'll spend 3 months and thousands of dollars just figuring out why certain pages were optimized with specific structured data in the first place. Documentation turns this optimization work from a one-time fragile project into a durable asset that the business can reuse and build upon. It protects the investment.
That makes total sense. Okay, we have covered a massive amount of ground today. Let's synthesize this so we have a crystal clear picture of the battlefield.
Sounds good.
Adapting to this new era of search in 2026 is not about panicking over lost clicks. And it's certainly not about mourning the old days of 10 blue links. It is about shifting to a rigorous operating discipline. It requires that dual ownership between business and tech. It requires measuring true outcomes, like the ability to run a mile instead of just buying the shoes.
Exactly.
And fundamentally, it requires engineering your data so that you aren't just educating a human, but actively proving your authority to an AI and guiding it to a clear decision.
And as a final strategic tip to anchor all of this, always ground your internal efforts in credible external standards.
That's what?
Well, when you are building these logs or presenting to leadership, link your internal strategy directly to the official Google AI mode search updates or the AI overviews documentation.
Oh, I see.
It removes the subjectivity. The ultimate goal isn't to build a perfect static website. The goal is controlled, verifiable progress. It's moving from a reactive state of confusion into a managed, predictable business capability.
Controlled, verifiable progress. That is the perfect target. But, you know, as we wrap up this deep dive, I want to leave you, the listener, with a final lingering thought to mull over. Something that builds on everything we've dissected today, but looks a little further down the road.
Let's hear it.
We have spent this entire time talking about the mechanics of optimizing your digital footprint so the AI trusts you enough to show you to customers. We're structuring data. We're building entity clarity. We are meticulously proving our authority to a machine.
Right.
But what happens to the physical marketplace when businesses become vastly better at signaling entity clarity to an AI than they are at actually delivering their physical product or service?
Oh, wow. That is a profound tension to navigate.
Right. Are we optimizing our operations for the actual customer who eventually walks through the door? Or are we just learning how to flawlessly flatter the algorithm so we capture the lead in the first place?
It's an incredibly delicate balance.
And if your team loses sight of the actual human experience while you're busy chasing AI approval, all the structured data in the world won't save you when it comes time to actually deliver on your promises. It is absolutely something you need to be debating with your teams as you implement these changes.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive. I highly encourage you to take the 30-day action checklist we discussed today back to your own operations. Confirm your baseline, establish your business and technical owners, and start building out those actionable, measurable optimizations. We will see you on the next one.